Welcome to episode 153 of Girl Take the Lead, where each week we explore womanhood and leadership. And I'm your host, Yo Kenny. Andrea Main DeWitt returns to discuss her new workbook, Name, Claim, and Reframe Workbook, your companion guide to a well-lived life, which you can pre-order from Amazon and will launch April 30th. I had the opportunity to receive an advance copy and wrote the following book jacket endorsement. Andrea provides a gentle path to examining the origin of our core wound beliefs and limited thinking on a deeper level, so we can let go of people-pleasing and quiet even the loudest inner critic. Her step-by-step process is a masterful blend of transformative insights and practical exercises designed to awaken an inner power that is both empowering and impactful. And can we get an amen for that? Andrea and I got chatting and we covered so many yummy things. I've made this into a two-part series. This is part one, and in it we'll cover a basic background of name, claim, and reframe, in case you missed our previous episode. But not to worry, I'll have the links in the show notes in case you'd like to hear more about that episode. We'll also talk about core wound beliefs, energy imbalance, people pleasing the inner critic, and boundaries. In part two, we'll continue the conversation, which will include getting feedback, accepting compliments, which can be very difficult for us to do, and we'll even talk about flying helicopters and Hawaiian healing words. All good stuff. Enjoy the listen. Here you go. You know I love it when a friend comes on the show. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming on the show again, Andrea. We just love you. We love your book. We love your workbook. I can't wait to tell my listeners more about this. So thank you for coming today.
Oh, yeah. I was so excited. This is my first press for the workbook. So, of course, I was just delighted that you and I were going to get to open the press tour.
Yay. I'm the launch. I'm the opening act for the launch. Yay. Well, why don't we start? Because some of our listeners may not have heard our previous episodes on Name, Claim, and Reframe, but I will put that in the show notes for everyone to refer to. But if you could introduce yourself and tell them about your book, and, you know, that would be great. Great place to start.
I'm Andrea Main DeWitt, and I am a leadership coach and author. And I wrote a book that came out in December of 2022 called Name, Claim, and Reframe Your Path to a Well-Lived Life. And it was a surprise kind of bestseller in that it made the Today Show as the number one motivational read for 2023. And we were excited because what it does is it really takes a simple three-part structure and helps people to use life coaching tools in a very practical way to respond to life's challenges instead of reacting to them. And so that's really what it's about. And that's what I do, speak, right, teach classes, and just have a well-lived life.
So it might be good to give some foundation for name, claim, and reframe for the listeners who haven't heard the previous episodes we've done. So maybe that's a good place to start today.
That is a great place to start. Name, claim, and reframe has three parts. The first part is name the source of your emotional trigger. Why am I reacting to that challenge instead of responding to it? Mm-hmm. Claim resonant actions that match up with your core values. When you understand what your core beliefs are, it's easier to understand why you're upset about something. And it's easier to bring yourself back in integrity by choosing actions that really align with your core beliefs. And then once you've named and claimed, you can reframe and think about what actions and what mindset is going to serve my goals for the future. Oftentimes, if we can separate our ego, we can really look at the big picture and shift our perspective and harvest learning. And so it's really an optimistic way to go about even the trickiest things that happen in our lives.
Right. Well, and I think you make the point too that we can't give it a name unless we see it. Like we have to observe it. And then the awareness of that, it kind of diffuses the power that it can
Exactly.
have
I
on us,
mean, this
right?
is really, Yolanda, about conscious awareness. When we're conscious about where we are in any given moment, then we have the power to choose again. You know, if you're talking on the phone to Comcast, which is oftentimes triggering, and I've been, you know, in situations where I think, okay, I'm getting triggered. I'm starting to get angry. I'm reacting. And then I can choose again. I'm sorry, this is really frustrating. Let me ask again. I'm going to choose again to ask in a different way. And then I can choose again to ask. So I'm claiming a different action. And I think that when you think about even, you know, just, you know, at work or with your spouse or somebody cuts you off in traffic, you can choose to be reactive and that gets your cortisol levels up, or you can choose to be responsive. Okay, maybe that person's having a hard day. I'm just gonna let them go in front of me. It's fine.
Give
You
him
know,
space.
right there, you've chosen yourself. You know, why raise your cortisol levels? Regardless of how, I mean, somebody else might have reactive behavior, but you don't need to take that energy on. And this is really about just being aware. It doesn't mean you're not gonna be triggered. You will be triggered, for sure you will. But being aware of where am I and what do I need to feel better.
So the workbook is kind of, I when I read it, it was like a guide for me to really look at all the different aspects of each of those elements. And you just sort of do just a marvelous job of giving us the questions and giving us, you know, what we need to really look at with those triggers and those things that are happening. You know, what did you realize in the first, when you wrote the book that, oh, this needs to be a workbook too, or how did that come about?
No, it's all accidental. I mean, it is all accidental. But what happened with this with the book was that we found that people, this concept of name claim and reframe just hit like wildfire. And so we decided we really needed to take the concepts in the book and put prompts and exercises back into the hands of the reader. And I think that there, again, I'm a teacher, you know, first and foremost, and there are different kinds of learners. Not everybody wants to read a self-help book. Some of people just don't want to read a self-help book, but people could take this workbook and they don't have to even go, you know, from the beginning to the end. They can go right in the middle saying, hey, I'm having an interpersonal conflict right now. Oh, there's prompts here that I can use to help navigate that. Or gosh, somebody really tromped on one of my core beliefs. What can I do about that? And it was so interesting. When I was doing, I did some beta programs. I did some theme salons and I did some programs where I took people through the workbook just sort of as a to get more information. And I said to my publisher, I really want to do this before we publish because I want to make sure we've looked at every angle, and there were so many areas that I got new perspectives from my readers. And it was so exciting. So I'm hopeful that we were able to expand the exploration and in ways that will really help people to use name, claim, and reframe in their lives again and again and again. That's my hope.
Well, you integrate the book so well, your original book. You integrate inspirational quotes that I loved, and we'll talk about a few of them in, as we go through this episode. But it does seem like you've thought it all, you know, all the aspects and pulled it all through. And it sounds like your readers and the people that have attended your workshops, et cetera, were great resources for you to put this workbook together.
Well, you know what's, I think, and this is a reframe, we talk about separating your ego. Once you write something, you don't own it anymore. Mm-hmm. And so when you put something out into the world, it's always incredible. Talk about feedback, understanding how things are landing. And I learned things that maybe didn't land well, or maybe I didn't do as well as I could have. And so it was an opportunity for me to go at it again and think about, okay, well, maybe I didn't make that accessible. Maybe this will help people to see themselves in this work. And so it's really about helping people to be more strategic and resourceful and graceful in their own lives.
Yeah.
And you know, that right there, if we can learn to respond and be in integrity, our lives are just calmer and we feel more grounded. Mm. And man, I want more of that, don't you?
That sounds delicious. Definitely. Well, it definitely comes through that this is a book about, I mean, it just seems like it's not about you so much as about the people that are going to actually do the work in the workbook, like a shift. Like sometimes we put content out from us and you don't know quite where it's going to land, but your workbook is definitely got the voice of somebody who's actually going to walk through this, who's actually going to do it. And you've taken such care to help them
Thank
through
you.
It.
I think we did. I think the first book, the book that I wrote, you know, I had to give people examples of, you know, this is what happened to me, or this is what happened to a client, and this is how we worked it. And I think, you know, you have to show people would say, oh, I saw myself in that story, or I see that. And so this workbook is really about being able to take those stories, because everybody's got something like that, and just overlay it in your life. And I do make references to the book number one, although it's not required. It sometimes gives you a great context, and then you get all fired up and you go, okay, I'm gonna go do that section of the workbook.
Well, that's so good, because you put like chapter and pages and things. So that's very, I think, a good reference.
I have to say I have to give my editor credit for that, because he goes, you gotta give, you know, show people where they are. And I think that it's very user friendly.
Yeah.
This
work. Oh, totally. Totally user friendly.
Good.
When I just had to go, whoa, when you kind of spelled out the 9 core wounded beliefs. That was so amazing. I thought you nailed, they were like in the list. I said, oh, I think that's my mom. And then went, oh, this one is me. But I mean, can you talk a little bit about that? Maybe share some of those aspects so our listeners get a sense of what those are about.
Absolutely. And I want to preface this by saying, you know, that I'm a certified life coach. I am not a therapist. And so I really state in the workbook, these are just, you know, a collection of core wounds. And the list is by no means complete, but it's a place to start. Yeah. And my hope for doing it, and it was in the name step, name your triggers, your limiting beliefs and your core wounds. We all have core wounds. Mm-hmm. And so to go in and sort of receive yourself with grace and compassion, that was my hope, that you could just read them and think, okay, this is the limiting belief, and this is how I show up because of that limiting belief.
Yeah.
So having that context, when you go into the workbook and do the shadow work of what does your inner critic say, is really great. It's a great context. I also really, I provide other references that if you want to do more work and read more, please do. I am not a therapist. I'm going to say it again because I'm not. But I just want people to have a context to really do the exploration and do the introspective.
Well, and to see the correlation between this is what happens, what might happen in the belief that you have about yourself.
And I think we had talked before we went on, you said that number seven, I think.
Yeah, number
You said
seven.
that the limiting belief is I am incomplete.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, there must be something missing from me. I'm not enough. And I think so many of us feel that way.
Yeah.
I'm not enough, especially when we compare and we watch somebody do something. We think, oh, I'm not doing that, or I should do that. And, you know, it's really that, you know, that's not true. All of us at some point feel that way.
Yeah.
And so when we can get underneath, you know, why I'm feeling that way, and maybe where it, you know, maybe somebody said that to me, maybe a teacher said that to me, or a parent said that to me, and how can I now, as a more conscious adult, nurture that child inside me and release that limiting belief and curate a new one that's going to work for me better.
I agree. And I think we almost have to keep reminding ourselves of it. Like, it isn't like you're cured. Like,
you're
do
not,
it one time.
No.
It's like, you know, that's in there. And it pops up, and then you kind of, oh, that's where that, yep, got it. I see it now.
Well, I had a client that came to me, and we were doing this work, and I just stopped and I said, "Stop. You are not broken. You are magnificent." And my, you know, let's go find that magnificent spirit, because she's in there. You
Yeah.
just, she's in there. Let's go find her.
Oh.
I mean, and it was just like at the end of our time together, she was so sparkly. And it was, you know, as her coach, it was just so much fun to witness her find that magnificent spirit, because that magnificent spirit lives in all of you, all of us. It's there. We just have to pull it out and find it.
Yeah. I love
and
it.
see our light.
And those things that get in the way, that's what takes the light away, and that's what we have to use, name, claim, and
it's our
reframe.
Responsibility. It's our responsibility to hold our own light and stand in our light.
Yeah.
It's nobody's fault. You know, somebody maybe didn't have, you know, whatever your parents said or whatever that teacher said. Well, that's their stuff. You
Exactly.
don't have to take it on.
Yeah.
You get to choose again.
Well, and sometimes I think we do take those things on, right? And we don't realize that it's there. Something else will pop up. And then we really do have to do the work to get to what is underneath that and what's motivating that. And I think that's the difference with sometimes with self-help is, oh, you're supposed to have this, you know, a spiritual awakening. And meanwhile, you're down in your below the line kind of energy. And you don't realize that you can work through that. You don't have to stay below the line. You can actually move
yourself.
Well,
the first step is to see it.
Exactly.
To see that the limiting belief is there.
Yeah.
I mean,
Exactly.
and that's the hardest part.
Yeah.
You know, because I mean, loving all of you. I mean, we all have fierce bits and rough bits and bits we don't want anybody to see. Everybody has bits, but if we can really say, well, actually, that bit of me that's a little fierce, well, you know, that's my warrior, or that's my, you know, that's my defensive child. Well, you know, what is that defensive child trying to protect me against? Well, I don't know. So it's just looking at those things. I mean, I'm not going to say that it doesn't happen in one reflection, you know. It's work. It's work just to look at it. The first step is really just noticing it's there.
Yeah.
And then massaging it and playing with it and
Yeah.
Loving yourself, all of
Exactly.
all of you.
Well, I think one of the for I think we've done about 3 or 4 episodes on energy, because
Yes.
I've loved the idea. And we went to, you know, Dr. Dispenza and looked at what he had to say about energy, and you have things to say about energy and balance. And you mentioned before that inner critic that can pop up and kind of go, oh yeah, CEO, you don't got it figured out, girl. You know, should, you know, listen to that second grade teacher who told you you were the ringleader and you were taking people in the wrong direction, whatever it was, you know. But I'd love to know what you have to say about energy, boundaries, you know, and the different aspects of this that you bring up in your book.
Well, I mean, when we talk about energy, this is where I think people go, that sounds kind of woo woo. What do you mean when you say energy?
Yeah.
I mean, we all have energy. What I'd like to say about energy is that it's, you know, what are you putting out into the world? Whatever you put out into the world is the energy that people are reading, whether it's enthusiastic or it's, you know, depressed or it's, you know, aggravated. I mean, we all can have all different kinds of energy at all different times. And when you go into a room, you bring energy and other people in that room have energy. And so some people's energy, we want to be around it. It
Yeah.
feels good to be around that energy. And other people's energy maybe doesn't mesh with our energy. And so I always say, you know, again, we're a conscious awareness of like, ooh, that energy is not working for me right now. And there are incredible ways. I talk about energy vampires, you know, people that
Yes.
they sort of feed off your energy. And then I always notice that because I'm really sensitive to energy. I just am. It's kind of a superpower. And I think, ooh, this isn't feeling good. And I can still be nice to this person, but I gotta get away. It's like, oh, it's so lovely to see you. Great to see you, but I need to go. Or, oh, I see my husband over there. I need to go over there. Or,
right.
Oh gosh, I'm late.
Right.
I mean, there are ways to be kind, but to say, no, thank you, this isn't working for me. Or to say, you know, if somebody's trying to if you're getting into an altercation with someone, you could say, you know what? I don't think this conversation is productive right now. And so I'm going to end it. I wish you all the best.
And that's a boundary that you're putting.
That's a boundary. I think it's okay. You know, one of the things I think that gets in the way of us, you know, when we get energy depleted, is I always talk about that people pleasing inner critic. And mine, because I was raised Catholic, is a little Sister Mary Frances is this little nun that comes in, and she's always sure that I'm not being nice enough and that I need to give all my resources away and all of this stuff. And I notice now when she shows up, because people pleasing is rooted in fear and is focused on earning love. I mean, so why am I thinking that I need to give all my power away to this? I mean, really, I don't. It's okay to say, let me think about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, checking in with Sister Mary Frances to say, you know, why are you think I need to do this right now? Because I'm tired.
Yeah. Well, I remember in that first book, wasn't it a crabby roommate? Didn't you give
Oh, yeah. Well, that, the crabby, well, she's not nice. I mean, she's just not nice. I mean, you have so many different critics. I mean, you know, there's all different kinds. I mean, there's some that are mean that tell you you're not smart enough, like the core wound of you're not good enough.
Right.
There's some that are people pleasing. There can be all different kinds.
Yeah.
And so it's just noticing.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, what are they saying? When do they show up? And they never have current information. Ever.
Yeah.
They always, you know, they might have the information that you had when you were 12 years old. Sounds great. And then say, you know, thanks so much for your fears, because that inner critic Their voice is always motivated by fear. Thanks so much for your concerns about this, but I got it covered.
Yeah.
You need to leave now.
Don't worry, we got it covered. Yeah. Thank you for listening today, and we sure hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, please leave a comment wherever you listen to your podcast. Tell a friend about us. Join our public Facebook group, Girl Take the Lead, or visit our website, girltaketheleadpod.com. We also have a YouTube channel where your subscription would be appreciated. Once you're on YouTube, search at Girl Take the Lead. And we've recently extended into YouTube Music, where you can find a video of this episode. So here's the three takeaways from this series. One, the nine core wound beliefs can help us outline our negative core beliefs and the personality we develop to compensate for those. Two, the people-pleasing inner critic is rooted in fear and is focused on earning love. Three, we should remember what Andrea's mom had to say about accepting a compliment. Quote, when someone is giving you a compliment, never interrupt. On Thursday, I'll be posting part two of this conversation with Andrea. Please join us again. Take care now. Thanks for being here, and talk to you soon. Bye.